Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27, and we're going to commence the reading at verse 11. Now this portion is really reminds us of these things that we've been singing about in our hymn. So Matthew 27, verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor," that there is Pilate, "and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witnesses against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner, called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now please over into the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23. And here we're going to read of another man. Another response to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke's Gospel and chapter 23, commencing the reading at verse 39. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the people have cried, crucify him, and he's been brought to the cross there upon Golgotha, there outside the city wall. And in verse 39, well, we learn also that there are malefactors either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 39 we read, And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And we know that God will be pleased to bless the reading of his most precious word. Now, I look around and I see one or two that are in for the first time. And indeed, we make you very welcome to our meeting this evening. But to fill you in on what we've been thinking about so far over the course of this week, on Monday, with the help of God, we sought to consider a question. We've been looking at questions. And on Monday, we considered the question that was asked by the psalmist, What is man that thou art mindful of him? And on Monday we saw things about God, and we saw things about man. And we noted on Monday how man was created different from the rest of creation. We saw how man has a body. We saw how man has a spirit. And we saw how man has a soul. A soul which is eternal. And what we learnt on Monday from Ezekiel in chapter 18 and verse 4 is this: the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Then on Tuesday, with the help of God, we sought to consider another question: where art thou? And we sought to develop the thoughts from Monday and to really consider how sin came into the garden, and to see how that soul, which is eternal, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we saw how the wages of sin is death. So perhaps over Monday and over Tuesday, it might be fitting to put the title, Man's Ruin. Well, yesterday, with the help of God, we sought to consider a question that was asked, as recorded in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. The question or the statement: what manner of man is this? And we saw things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw things concerning his way, his will, his walk, his words, and his work. We saw how the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely unique, born of a virgin, without any trace of sin in him. We saw that demonstrated in his walk, that he was sinless. And we saw from him, looking at a few of his words, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That truth really is this, that God is manifest in flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is God himself. And we saw the significance of that all in leading up to his work. For it was absolutely and is absolutely vital for salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless and was God and is God himself. And so perhaps over yesterday evening you could put the title, God's Remedy. God's Remedy for the Problem of Sin. Well, this evening then, I want to consider a question, and it was mentioned by Paul yesterday as well, a question that is asked here as we read it in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27 and verse 22. And really what I want to think about this evening can be titled this: Man's Responsibility. You know, we thought yesterday that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. We saw how he gave himself a ransom for all. But I want to make this truth clear and plain, that just because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price in full, paid the ransom for all, so that all can be saved, this does not mean that all will be saved. A provision has been made for all, don't get me wrong, praise God for that. All can be saved, but not all will be saved. Why? Because it is based upon a personal response. A response to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To turn from sin, says the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 15. Repent ye, that is turn and believe. Turning from sin and putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there has to be that response for a soul be saved. So we're going to consider then this question that we have read, which is this. Pilate asks it as he tried the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings him out to the people, and he asks, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? So this evening, we want to consider, with the help of God, these responses that we have leading up to the cross. We want to consider the people's preference. We want to consider Pilate's plight. And we want to consider the personal plea. You know, under these headings, We can perhaps almost see, as we look into it in more detail, positions that people in the world would try to take. We'll see from the people's preference that there are those who are totally opposed to the things of God, that totally reject everything to do with God and His way of salvation. They are bitterly opposed. From Pilate's point, we shall see that there are some in this world that perhaps they try to take a neutral position. And from the personal plea, we will see that there are some that realize their need, realize the danger that they are in their sin, and will humble themselves and call on the name of the Lord and be delivered and be saved. You know, we've mentioned how there could be perhaps three positions that people in the world could take. But I want to make this absolutely and mainly clear. There are only really two positions that you can be in. Yes, people might say, well, I don't know what to think. I don't really know. I don't really have a thought on this. I want to make that clear. And we sung it in our hymn. That's why I chose it. Perhaps I didn't know it quite as well as I thought I did. But nevertheless, the reason why I chose it was for its words. And the hymn writer would say, neutral, you cannot be. There is no such thing as a middle ground. You either realize your sin, turn from it, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and are saved on this narrow way that leadeth to heaven, or you choose to reject. Whether that be you try to take a neutral ground, or whether it is you're bitterly opposed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul brought before us yesterday how the way is broad, because it encompasses many different philosophies and many different ideas, and it's all wrong. It doesn't matter what it is, unless you take Christ as your Savior, then the position that you're really in is on that broad way that leadeth to a lost eternity in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. Where do you fit in? What category? Saved or lost? You know, I wonder this evening if there is a position, a point rather, in your experience that you can look back to and say, that's it. That's the moment my destination changed. That's the moment my destination changed from a lost eternity in hell and the lake of fire to an eternity in heaven. So that's it. That's the moment my position changed. You say, that's the point when I realized that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that means me. That's the point when I realized that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the point when I realize that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You say, that's the moment when I realize that on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. You say, that's the moment. That's the moment when I realize concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I wonder, can you look back to a point in your experience? You know, I'm not looking for a time stamp. You know, as you start going around preaching, occasionally you get into a little bit of trouble. And once I must confess, I got a bit of a talent off. For I suggested that everyone must have a point that they can look back to in their experience when they change from that broad way onto that narrow way that leadeth to life. And one chap came up to me afterwards and he said, well, he says, some of us can't remember the time and the place and so on and so forth. And I said, you don't need to. But there must be a point that you can look back to. I'm not asking for the time nor the day. For I should tell you that I can't remember the exact date when I was saved. I know I was 8. I can remember all the events leading up to it. I remember feeling the weight and the burden of my sin. Dad will tell you how he remembers me coming to him and coming to the two-way shot that we have at our house, not quite as good as this one. And I said to Dad, that's where I am. I remember that. I remember feeling the weight and the burden of my sin. I remember going each week to the gospel meetings and to the children meetings. And one night, I remember hearing words whereby I can be saved. Know the burden lifted. Know my destination changed. Now destined for a home in heaven. And I remember that night going home and before my head touching the pillow, praying, asking God to forgive me for my sin. I place my faith and trust in him. And I knew that I was saved. I had the assurance of God's salvation. I can't remember the time, but I know there was a point. I know there was a point in my experience when I was saved. Do you? What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, the clock's gone, so that's my excuse. But we're going to move on now to consider these three headings. Firstly, then, let's very quickly consider the people's preference. You know, as we read this passage, as we've read it in Matthew's Gospel, and we read the other Gospel accounts, we see how at the Feast of Passover, it was customary for the governor to release unto the people a prisoner. Now we read how Pilate, knowing for envy, that is jealousy, that the people had delivered the Lord Jesus Christ unto him, he seeks to give them the easy choice. We read there how he asked the people, whom shall I deliver unto you? And on the one hand, Matthew chapter 20 verse 16, a notable prisoner called Barabbas, or on the other hand, Jesus, which is called Christ. Should have been an easy choice. Let me tell you a thing or two about Barabbas. What we learn from him from Scripture. From John's Gospel, we learn that he was a robber. From Mark's Gospel, we learn how he had been bound with them and had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. So not only was he a robber, he was also a rioter, and he was also a murderer. Here's Barabbas, at one end of the spectrum. Yesterday we considered the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And we thought about his walk, didn't we? What we could learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is this, that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went about doing good. We thought yesterday how he healed, how he moved with compassion, and touched, and healed, and raised to life. We thought how he had been tested in the wilderness, and it proved the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin. We saw how God could share and proclaim his satisfaction and his delight in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Pilate, who shall I release unto you? Barabbas, a notable prisoner, a robber, a rioter, a murderer, or the Lord Jesus Christ? And Pilate himself has just examined him and could say, I find no fault in him. Herod could examine him and said that there is nothing worthy of death in him. Lord Jesus. And yet how tragic it is that we see the people's response. We see the people's preference, the utter hatred and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Barabbas. Let him be crucified. I wonder, is that the response of us all here this evening? Totally opposed. No time, no place for the Lord Jesus Christ. Room for sin and room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter. How sad, how tragic. So, the people's preference. Then we consider Pilate's plight. You know, Pilate was a politician, wasn't he? And he, as I read this account, I read it again this evening, you really do see his political maneuvering, as I would term it. Politicians haven't changed, you know. Pilate has examined the Lord Jesus Christ, we thought of that, recognized him to be sinless. Herod, likewise. Pilate's wife has come to him, he read of that, and say, have nothing to do with this just man. I want you to realize this. Pilate knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent and was faultless. A little note on that, by the way. It's not just enough to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about just understanding the facts and the truth. You know, 2 years ago we had our gospel campaign. And our brother who was sharing there, Bobby Eady, would say how he used to try bit by bit to try and believe, if it will, and try to remember and understand another truth. Week one, it was the virgin birth. Week two, it was his sinner's perfection. Week three, it was his deity and so on. And he was so busy and so caught up with trying to know the facts that he missed the point of what faith really is. Faith is just accepting what God said is true, resting on it, believing in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to know the facts. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was innocent. And yet we see his political ambition, if you will. He sought to please the people. Yet how could he please the people and pardon the Lord Jesus Christ? He sought to acquit himself of all guilt. Paul was reminding us of that yesterday. To wash his hands and say that he is not guilty of it all, and so on and so forth. He sought to acquit himself. The hymn writer would remind us of that too. Will you evade him, as Pilate tried? He sought to deny accountability. But I want you to realize this, and I'm going to quickly come to bring my comments to a close in a moment. But I want you to realize this. He sought to acquit himself of the guilt and of the responsibility of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in John's Gospel in chapter 19 and verse 10, I want you to see this, that Pilate, when he was testing the Lord Jesus Christ, would say to him, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Yes, I know how the Lord Jesus Christ would speak then concerning the sovereign and permissive will of God. And how the Lord Jesus Christ would say that those that had delivered him to Pilate had the greatest sin. The greatest sin, by the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is not acquitting Pilate of the sin and of the accountability. Pilate would say, I have power to crucify thee or to release thee. And in John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 16, we read there that then delivered he. It was Pilate's decision. He delivered the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke's Gospel would tell us that Pilate gave sentence. He may have sought to acquit himself of guilt and of responsibility. But we have thought already this evening that you cannot. To be neutral is to reject. There's no middle ground. You either accept or you reject. The people's preference, Pilate's plans, I'll just say as in closing, the personal plea. We have thought of that and read of that malefactor. We have thought about him on another night also. I want you to realize this, that he is in the close of his life down here below. You know, crucifixion is guaranteed to lead to one thing, and that is death. A slow and painful death, yes it is. But it is in the last few moments of his life. Eternity is on the brink. And in those last few moments, he recognizes things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He realizes him to be sinless. This man has done nothing amiss. He realizes his sin for what it is. This man has done nothing amiss. And then he would speak how they were there justly receiving the due reward for their deeds. He realizes his sin, and he realizes the Lord Jesus Christ's sinlessness. And by faith, in those closing moments of his life, he calls on the name of the Lord and will say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What an assurance he had to hear the reply of the Saviour. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May God bless his word.